FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is November 29th, 2019. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. We did for sure. I went to the dinner, like I said, of displaced New Yorkers. There were so many of us there. It was really a great party. Shout out to my friend Carol for doing an incredible job. Well, hey, been watching cryptos. We saw a little crash occur. Very recently, where we were over 9,000 on Bitcoin, and we went back to around 7,000. Is that the sign of things to come, or are cryptos going to really maintain their stride and become a legitimate competing currency to those fiat currencies of the world's nations? That's really the question. And person you're about to hear from is well situated to give you those answers. But first, what do you think of cryptos? I know we had our crypto contest a while back. It was a lot of fun. And one of you won a bunch of pre-1965 silver 25 cent pieces. And we're going to be doing another one about the price of gold. But right now, email us kl@kerrylutz.com with your opinion. So I've got Eric Wade. Eric, you're editor of Crypto Capital, published by Stansberry Research. I know Porter quite well, followed Stansberry's work for many, many years. And recently, there's an interesting development. If you follow the mainstream financial institutions, I found it pretty interesting that Fidelity won a Bitcoin trading and custody license in New York. Now, did they get that from the New York State Department of Financial Services? These cryptos are not really regulated so much at the federal level, although the SEC seems to think that it has jurisdiction over it. But what's your take on how significant this is?
It's actually very significant. Fidelity, if I could, I would kind of call them like having a strong silent type as your partner in cryptos, that Fidelity has made a lot of good long-term moves, even creating their own division that they can investigate what they're going to do with cryptos. And the bosses at Fidelity have even come out and said, why are we not involved with blockchain and Bitcoin, et cetera? But specifically targeting New York and making sure that they had that lined up is important because on my side of the industry, we look at New York State as having some of the hardest rules and the most difficult approvals to get. And a lot of your listeners may think, wait, why do cryptos need rules, right? Why do cryptos even worry about that? Because the whole idea behind crypto when it launched, and Bitcoin specifically, was it was a peer-to-peer financial instrument, right? That you didn't need any kind of government intervention. And it almost seems contradictory to say how important it is to get that New York license. And that's because Fidelity wants to be able to interact between individual investors and institutions and the banks that are already there. So in order to do that, with the law on your side, you do have to get that license in New York. So yes, crypto itself and Bitcoin itself doesn't care about the rules or the laws, but Fidelity has to. So they're making the move of getting those authorizations, and then it should make it a lot easier for them to carry out business in every state. And then there'll probably even be some countries around the world who, when they decide to adopt rules, they look at New York is kind of a leader in that space. So I think it's a great move on Fidelity's part. It's they're taking their time. They're doing it slow. But like I said, they're kind of like the strong silent type, that they're making these big moves in crypto behind the scenes without a lot of fanfare about it.
Mm-hmm. So you think they'll be the de facto leader? Because I guess they're going to have their own exchange, right? And hopefully they'll have better security, better internet security than a lot of their predecessors. I would think that if they're going to go into this, then they have to do a huge investment in crypto security, so you don't have their crypto vault broken into, or the equivalent. You know, they could be sitting on billions of dollars worth of cryptos. You look how hard it is to protect physical assets. You just had that huge heist in Germany. They stole $1.1 billion supposedly worth of precious gems, priceless gems. I guess they do have a price because they wouldn't be able to say how much they were worth otherwise. But you know what I'm saying? That they really,
absolutely.
Because if they're to have any credibility in this sector, they got to have the Great Wall of Trump and China combined to prevent the hackers from raiding it.
Hackers is important to be able to defend yourself against, as well as, you know, any kind of problems that might arise from an investor making a mistake, sending their keys or their coins or something to the wrong address, those types of things, right? That in stocks, you kind of take that for granted that someone has your back. In banking, someone will track it and make sure that it's, you know, your transfer is correct. Crypto, that's kind of new to crypto. Most of us that have been in it for a while have accepted the fact that if something goes wrong, for the most part, you're on your own. So you're right. That's a tall bar for Fidelity to try to climb over. And you start off your question with, are they going to end up being the de facto leader? And I really like the competition that's kind of brewing between Fidelity and some of the other big players, like you've got New York Stock Exchange Division Bakkt, B-A-K-K-T. That's from the parent company, New York Stock Exchange, realized a while back, hey, we should have some way to safeguard cryptos and allow them to transfer safely and hold them safely like Bitcoin. And they've got a little bit of a head start on Fidelity, according to what Fidelity's released publicly. But again, Fidelity doesn't show all their cards. So it could turn out to be kind of a race for who offers the best services. And again, I understand all of the irony of that you know, cryptos were built as a way to step out of banking. But then now you've got some of the largest financial institutions there are competing to participate in that. I find it interestingly ironic.
It is ironic, isn't it? And
yeah.
And it's a still very emerging, unsettled market. We see like daily hacks on this thing, right? Where people are losing fortunes, being scooped out from underneath them. And really, it's a little frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons that crypto's actually been moving more slowly this year than a lot of people anticipated, was that in order to attract, you know, institutional investors and hedge funds, et cetera, someone has to determine what are our procedures that are bulletproof, or in the event that something gets scooped out or disappeared or malfeasanced, you know, anything like that, then who do I blame and who backs me up on this? And that's that's important, right? Because before you're going to put the big family office money into these, then you want to know what's my chain of custody, who's responsible, and if something goes wrong, is it insured? Is it something I can undo, et cetera? And a lot of that wasn't built into crypto in the first place. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting year of development where can Bitcoin become Wall Street, or can Wall Street become Bitcoin? Is almost almost like a interesting thing to think about. We've had 10,000 years mm-hmm. to work all those problems out with gold, yeah. But we've had 10 years to work it out with crypto.
So do you think this is going to result in the tokenization of ordinary securities so that they're much more easier to trade and much more cost effective? And I want to link an event that occurred recently. Major stock brokerages, Wall Street investment banks, et cetera, have waived their fees on stock trades. Is this all connected?
It could be. I think the stock broke business, the $5 fees that they were charging, right? The ones that I think that are being waived, there's the 495s, et cetera. And when I got into business a long time ago, Merrill Lynch charged $105 for a commission. So those days are gone, right? And I find it almost intellectually confusing that some of the most profitable, biggest companies out there supposedly are doing something for you for free. And I think, you know, intelligent people all know it's not free. They've just found a way to move the money without necessarily the fees they're charging being front and center. I liked it better when there was at least some sort of fee on there that I could see, so I don't have to worry about where it's coming from. Cause I know they're not turning the lights on and coming to work and firing up their computers for me for zero cost. That may be in a response to it. I don't think so. I think it's just a competitive environment that they're in. They're trying to grab each other's customers as much as possible, because this is a very old, very old bull market that we're in. And its days are numbered as far as stocks goes. So I think the next wave is going to be exuberance and what Stansberry likes to call a melt up, right? Where stocks get maybe irrationally overvalued for a while. And I think right now brokerages are scrambling to pick up as many customers as they can, even if they have to do it from each other, in preparation for what's probably coming in a year or two at the furthest out of stocks turning against it. And cryptos, you'd mentioned in the beginning, is part of your question was the competing currencies. And a lot of cryptos, we're looking for the ability to use stock trading over cryptocurrencies. That's a ways away, I think, because of all the regulations and all the ground rules that Wall Street brings to the party. But as far as store of value goes, like where do you go when there's too many dollars floating around and the stock market is, you know, maybe starting to run out of momentum? It's not now. We've got maybe a year to solve that and get cryptos ready to be a better store of value. So that's a mouthful, but no, short answer, I don't think STOs, securitized tokens, that, you know, you can have stocks as it's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen very fast. I think it's late 2020 at the earliest, but there are some cryptos out there that's their goal, is to create an opportunity for stocks to trade over crypto. And that would be extremely low fees. Yeah. I think it's just a coincidence that they're doing that now. I think they have other incentives for lowering their fees right now, and it's they're able to just kind of ignore cryptos for now. It'll change in time, but probably give it another year or two.
Yeah, well, you know, I think if they want to get into that, then it's only natural they would get into the currency aspect first, and then get the infrastructure, especially the security aspects of it, and eventually spearhead or lead the transition.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of them are starting to file. I think 2018, the highest number of intellectual property patent filings in the crypto space were financial institutions, right? Like banks and brokerages that were trying to patent some of their procedures and patent anything that they could get their hands on as far as merging what they're already doing with this new technology of blockchain. So they're working on their innovations, but it's still a ways off before we see full blown adoption of it. The first one will be whether they can hold Bitcoin that already exists, and then stable coins, right? Like you may see a JP Morgan Bucks or something like that. That'll be a cryptocurrency backed stable coin based on, you know, so it holds the value of a dollar, which, don't get me started talking about holding the value of a dollar, because I'm not a big fan of that.
Isn't that a contradiction in terms?
That's the first step that you have to take.
Contradiction in terms. Hey, but so, you know, and so what about the fact that they basically forced Facebook, which was going to launch Libra, out of the space, and the U.S. government has, what is the effect going to be of that? Do you think Facebook will eventually launch this crypto or what?
Facebook will, I'm going to say yes. Facebook will eventually launch something. And I'm not a huge fan of Facebook. I don't even actually have a Facebook account of my own. But I do like that Facebook seems to be rather aggressively looking forward as far as what can this technology do for them. And, you know, obviously, I'm sure I'm not informing anyone who's listening to this of anything they don't already know, but Facebook has gotten pretty good at monetizing us and our attention, right? That whatever information we're willing to share with it, they will monetize it and provide these quote unquote free services. And there we are back to, they're not charging for it, but it's not free. But as far as cryptocurrencies go and Facebook, whether they get their Libra to fully launch and to become what they wanted, I'm guessing Facebook has already hedged what happens next on that, that they probably have a plan B and a C and a D. And if they have to partner with somebody else in order to get the ability to do, and what appeals to Facebook is their ability to do a lot of small transactions at an extremely low cost to the user so that people will use it more and more, right? Mm-hmm. Like Bitcoin is famously good at being able to transfer $1 billion, but there's only a few people in the world that can, you know, that's appropriate for. What Facebook wants is they want your $3 transactions, et cetera. So they know, what can I market to Carrie? What will he buy if he sees enough ads for it? Well, and with or without government approval, with or without Libra coming out, they're going to find something to solve that need. And I think they've probably already got two or three of them in the wings that they're checking out as alternatives. So I was a little surprised by the backlash, like how harsh the backlash was on this with Facebook in front of Congress. But I guess everybody had to get their punches in, right? That they were mad at Facebook about anything.
Yeah.
And they took it out on them for the crypto. So,
well, they don't, you know, most of the Congress doesn't even know what regular money is, let alone a cryptocurrency. And,
yeah,
you know, to think of Maxine Waters, you know, she just knows from graft and corruption. She has no idea anything about economics. So obviously is piling on. I think there's competing groups, and there's a group that wanted to keep Facebook out, and they use their entree, their access to the federal government to keep them out. And like you said, they'll slow them down, but you have to understand Facebook's business model right now. They effectively are captives of Wall Street, the credit card companies, because you can't do a transaction. If you're advertising on Facebook, you have to use a credit card pretty much. There is no other way to do it.
Yeah.
And for Facebook, they've got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of vendors out there that they purchase goods and services from. So it'd be great to just pay them in your own script, not have to bother with dollars or anything else. And then all of their customers, most of them are selling services which have to be paid for with credit cards. So they have the whole ability to usurp Wall Street, the entire financial sector, from their business. And that's what they were going for. And Wall Street's just not going to take hundreds of billions of dollars in lost revenue sitting down. So of course they're going to call upon their captives in DC to try to inhibit or altogether ban such a state of affairs.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base, with Ross Beatty owning 20%, insiders 5%, and Resource Capital Funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, you're not far off, because Facebook, I think all their various properties around the world, you can imagine they have a couple of billion customers already. Mm. And, you know, if you compare, you know, someone coming into the market with a couple of billion happy customers, and on the other hand, you look at all of the profits from the banking sector and brokerage sector, and the you count your PayPals, your Visas, et cetera, in there, right? Of if you move money from point A to point B and you make a profit at it, that's what Facebook was aiming at. And yes, you know what, one or two outcomes was going to happen: either Facebook was going to get a piece of that, or they were going to make the pie smaller for everybody. And you're right, you nailed it. That Wall Street doesn't want to see pies shrink in size, mm-hmm. and the ability to move money with low fees, that's appealing. And if Facebook could blaze it through, then that would, they would have come to market with a couple of billion happy people ready to sign up for it. So that's probably scaring the old guard, so to speak, mm-hmm. right? The banking guys who haven't been forced to innovate and adopt this.
Yeah.
And a small thing that may interest some of your listeners, I've been watching, of all companies, IBM, who is high tech without a doubt and forward looking and also very global in their reach. They have, add to what you just said, lots and lots of international customers, customers around the world, suppliers around the world, and employees around the world. And IBM has already decided we need a solution for this, that we can take in any currency from any place and pay anybody anywhere with it, right? Without having to be beholden to international banks or multiple banks. That's what really got IBM thinking about it, was if you wanted to move money from one supplier through one product to one customer and then pay your employees, you may have five or six different hops of banks that money has to go through. And everybody puts their little thumbprint on it, right? So IBM's pushing for this as well, and it'd be really interesting to see, you know, when there's going to be a tide change of some of these global blue chips that say, I guess I don't need XYZ legacy banking system. Facebook was the one that got the most attention for it, but they're certainly not the only one with that problem trying mm-hmm. to solve it.
Yeah, and then you could see other companies jumping on the bandwagon. Google's in the same position as is Facebook. You know, they're paying all, you know, billions and billions of dollars a year in merchant fees to the banks. And this is a way to just supplant it all. And like you say, small fees, you know, you do a $50 ad campaign on Google Ads, and basically Google's paying out somewhere $1 to $1.50. to the banks for the privilege of accepting your credit card. Imagine if you could just convert to Libra or whatever it is. So every large corporation, Boeing, any huge manufacturing company would want to jump on the bandwagon and do this. So they had to be stopped somehow. Although I think they're just slowed down. Like you said, it's going to require them to acquire somebody who they can then use for this and let them be the public face of it, right?
Yeah. And maybe that's why we're starting to see some of these Wall Street organizations say, well, maybe we should look into having a dollar-based crypto coin of some kind, so that maybe they can send their sales team over to Google and say, all right, you know, we've got a little JPM coin or whatever it is. How about you start using this instead? And they're racing towards each other as quickly as they can. And again, these are dollar based, and this is, you know, they almost become like really nice databases. It's not the true nature of Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, but maybe that's the next wave of adoption before people at the top start seeing, well, what if it was something that didn't have all the bad things about the dollar? The fact that they're printing hundreds of billions of them every time the wind blows, et cetera, right? And that's what I really like about crypto, is if we can get to a point where stable money, competing currencies, sound money. I just had a great long meeting with Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, who's very keen on sound money. And he comes right out and says, I'm not a crypto expert, but boy, have I been complaining about sound money for decades. And that's got him kind of the enamored with the crypto world lately, is that he's right. He's been talking about sound money since the 70s. And if we had listened to him in the 70s, we'd still have 2-3 times as much purchasing power on the dollar as what we have now.
So, ain't that the truth, boy? So
yeah.
Yeah. So there's a war going on, but of course nobody knows about it. It's not in the media. You don't see the Wall Street Journal talking about it, but you could see a combination conceivably of large tech companies and large banks and them fighting it out effectively to see who's going to win this fight. And you got to wonder, like, you know, with the resources on the one hand, you know, your banks, they can get free money. They can do all sorts of stuff that, that the tech companies can't. But on the other hand, the tech companies can come up with new ways to make all this stuff work and bypass the system altogether. So, it's going to be an interesting game here to see what happens. And,
So I think, I'm advising people buy some Bitcoin, even if it's just a small amount, to speculate, to get to learn it for yourself. If you already have taken that step, then start looking around for what do they need to build their systems on. Ethereum network isn't maybe one of the best cryptos out there, but it's very popular, and it's almost like the debate of Windows versus Mac, right? That you could ask people, what's a better computer system, Windows or Mac? And everybody has their favorite, and you can make the argument, well, Ethereum isn't the best crypto possible, but everybody's using it, you know? And there's a lot of cryptos out there that you think they may have their faults, and they may be fluctuating a lot in price. But if that's in the path of development, you know, if that's the wide open field that they're going to have to buy a piece of to put their freeway through, then I think investors are savvy to start looking into what's the strongest, what's the best, setting aside the fluctuation of the price versus fiat dollars. Some of these cryptos are very, very limited supply. And once the banks and Google start paying more attention to them, the building blocks are going to get snapped up pretty quickly. That's why I'm advising people that think long-term on this, accumulate things that other people are going to need to solve their problems, and buy the best ones right now. We're in a mode where buying quality makes sense. Eventually we'll get to a point where you can, you know, throw darts and speculate, but that's not the market right now for cryptos. The market right now for cryptos is be smart, accumulate the winners, and then hold on to them. Because the tides are going to change, and Wall Street's coming, and big money is paying attention, but they're doing it quietly.
Yeah, very stealthily, very under the radar. But I'm glad you brought it to our attention here. I think it's going to be a big deal. Hey, people want to find out more about you, subscribe to the publication. Where do you go?
StansberryResearch.com, and I am the only crypto guy there. So just poke around until you find something that says crypto. Stansberry Research is largest independent research company. We're not advertising supported, and we get to write whatever we want. Even a lot of our writers disagree with each other. We give each other a lot of points to think about. That we have gold people that write about gold at Stansberry, and stocks and bonds and crypto. So something for everyone there. And you can access our research by poking around there. And we talk about cryptos a lot because we really feel that longer term savvy investors really need to take a position in this, because when it does start to really move, we're talking about those 300, 500, 1000% returns over the course of a few years.
And we've already seen huge returns in them. So that'll be interesting. Hey, tell us what you think. We really want to hear your opinion. It matters. What do you think of cryptos? Passing fancy or the future of business tomorrow, effectively? Just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Really appreciate you coming on, and we will definitely be talking with you again soon. Eric, be well.
Thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it.
Hey, always a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.